Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Ooh. Ooh. It's Friday the 13th, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Are you superstitious about that at all?
You looked. Rob gave me the look he gives when I've got it wrong.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I'm looking at the correct calendar.
No, what happened to me is I thought you were going to go Halloween. Instead, you went Friday the 13th.
It's Friday the 13th.
Yeah, this is the
Don't
day that's so scary.
Don't walk under a ladder. Don't smash a window mirror.
Don't step on a crack because it'll harm your mother's back. Break it.
Very much. Don't put a sandwich in the microwave oven because it will stink up the studio.
Don't walk on the Exorcist stairs.
That's right.
Let's be very scared. Here's the question that the vampire has for the entire studio. What kind of sandwich was Mac heating up in the microwave that stunk up the entire room?
Here's what's amazing, Lord Vader, is that it was not even a sandwich. It was a blueberry muffin, but somehow it was the stinkiest blueberry muffin I've ever encountered.
Mr. McIntosh, where did you acquire your blueberry muffin?
I got it from Starbucks.
Oh, downstairs. Oh,
fancy. Yeah,
oh, convenient. You didn't feel as though you could enjoy it without microwave energy searing through the dough to soften it. Is that what it is?
I had Starbucks heat it up for me.
Okay. Oh, you brought the stinky in from Rob, why did you say it smelled like beef Wellington?
It had a protein flavor to it.
Yeah, it's not what you would think. Let's say if you got a Yankee Candle, you're like, oh, blueberry is great, right?
No,
this is processed, and it's been in that, I would imagine, they say it's fresh, but it could have been there for at least a week.
Yeah.
Because it smelled like old.
Display case?
Yes, yeah.
Literally, it felt like if I looked over, it would have that cartoon image of like steam swirling up from it and coming over to us for going to our nostrils. It was horrible.
Absorbing all the different scents of the ham and cheese sandwiches and the armpits of the baristas. Yes, sorry.
This is the most absorbent muffin I've ever held on.
Rob, we're talking about muffins. There's a man getting very excited who wants to talk. And his name is Robert Ford. You're excited about this discussion.
This is what happened. It was probably heated in the same microwave that heats like the bacon, chorizo, Gouda sandwiches.
Ah, got it. The Gouda sandwiches.
I know it sounds like every third or fourth show, or maybe every other show, we end up talking about food. But I have to say, as a fat man, the muffin, per se, in my world of food consumption is a throwaway.
Overrated.
I am not a muffin. I am not a muffin
They
person.
Talked about it on Seinfeld. The only good part is the top. And the that's muffin. Not that great.
That's like a hipster thing to say. Like, look, a muffin is, it's great. It's a nice treat
it's
once in a while.
It's not great at all.
If you want to get
better.
It.
A muffin
a
is.
A donut?
Yes.
A muffin. Oh, if you are putting donuts and muffins in a competition.
I'll take a banana nut muffin any day.
Yeah, you'll
banana
take it, bread. You'll take it anally.
Any day.
This is, now stop. Behave yourself, Rob. It is why you are thin.
Because but a muffin, I bet they have the same calories as a donut.
Perhaps even more.
It is.
Yes.
But the work it takes to eat that muffin when you're done. Look, if you eat a glazed donut from any, name your favorite donut place. You're going to eat at least three of them. To satiate yourself. A muffin fills you up. One muffin.
AOT. AOT. You asked me to name my favorite muffin place. AOT.
AOT?
All of them.
Now, you know what? But the muffin is, you know, one of the problems with the muffin is it's close cousin. The cupcake.
The cupcake, not boo. One of my favorite.
Overrated.
That's a quick snack.
Overrated.
It's just pouring, it's lazily pouring dough into a prefab little container that comes out. The muffin, when's the last, I can't even tell you if I've ever had a muffin where I went, oh my God, the most spectacular muffin I've ever had. Muffins are offered by everybody and they all taste like crap.
I know why too. Because calm down and let me finish.
Look at these when guys. We get on a food subject, it is like I swear everybody to God, I am storming the beach of Rob Fat Normandy when I'm trying to make a point. Because he wants the entire conversation to himself.
This is wheelhouse.
May I make my point about the muffin?
Yes.
The muffin, there are so many places that provide us with muffins. And there are so many bakers at home that provide us with muffins. But the muffin just never rises to any kind of flavor level. Now, the donut, on the other hand.
Oh, magical.
We've had hundreds of discussions about donuts that you have. Carla was mentioning right before we drifted off to sleep last night that we got a Duck Donuts that's coming down here to our neighborhood. I know you don't like them, Rob, but a lot of people do
Take it over a muffin any day.
I'd take it over a muffin, and I would take it over Dunkin' Donuts, too. Yes. A Duck Donut.
Yes.
Donut. Wouldn't the problem be that you both have taken on too many, though? That's really the problem,
yeah,
so right?
Yeah, you have muffin top.
I was going to mention this in yesterday's show.
Yes.
Seems like 24 hours.
I can't even recall it. Maybe you could refresh my memory.
I was going to say that Wednesday night, we went to the Cocoonville Turkey Buffet.
Now, hold on. Is it a buffet that features the food of turkey?
It is.
Like cabbage rolls and stuff like from Eastern Europe, the country of Turkey, or is it?
No, it's turkey. It's roast turkey.
Delicious.
The Byzantine buffet.
The turkey they have, I don't know if you've ever seen this. They don't get just the turkey breast, but they don't get the whole bird either. It's got a turkey breast attached to a little leg. And it's just a more substantial prefabbed product, but it is just, it's
what's
just
unhealthy about
tender.
Turkey?
Well, nothing's unhealthy about turkey. That's why we went to the turkey buffet.
I like the
very
skin.
Popular in Cocoon.
It sounds healthy, actually.
Yeah. The turkey buffet, but I unfortunately lost a bit of self control, and that is why I'm a fat guy. I love food.
I bet there's sides.
They're tremendous sides.
Describe them, please, slowly.
Well, would you like to know the entire? I can give you by memory.
Slowly.
Yes.
I can, and calm down, because this is, okay, we're going to take a Chubby Checker moment.
Okay.
We're going to go into the land of Chubby Checkers, and I can tell you probably by memory, and I could even tell you, I can't remember college roommates I have, but I can probably tell you not only the items on the buffet table, but I can tell you what order they were in the chafing dishes.
Yes.
And by the way, the protein, they had more protein than just the, but the turkey is the only thing where they had a carving station.
Of course.
Where the guy carved the turkey. You know, which I really think with this type of product, you didn't need to have the guy there.
Well,
you could have
nice
sent him home. You know, and he could have had a nice evening with his family.
You know what, guy? A little thicker this time.
Well, he got, for some reason, he boned me on the second helping, but I went back for seconds.
Well, I'd speak to the manager about that.
Well, no, if you're unsatisfied with the portion, you can always go back for thirds. But here's the thing.
Right.
So in the order, since he was asking about side dishes. Rofo, you might be disappointed that there were not a significant amount of side dishes, but let me begin. Got a turkey carving station over to the right.
Yeah.
Set up on the stage where they bring in the old people, you know, karaoke singers.
Hot red lights on it on goosenecks?
No, not that elaborate.
Okay.
Not that elaborate. So he put it over there, and then you had in the center, right on the dance floor, you had the chafing dishes set. And station number one.
That's not the only place there was chafing.
Station number one was mixed vegetables. That I have to say, I know you want to say boo, but they were spectacular.
What was in the mix?
You had a round slices of zucchini.
Ooh.
You had round slices of carrot. You had fresh mushrooms, and you had green beans. And it worked because it was swimming in some sort of fat.
Buttery?
Like butter or olive oil or something like
that.
It was, you know, it was shiny. You know, by the way, if it doesn't leak through a bag or be shiny to the naked eye, you know, I'm not eating my veggies.
I want to see the manager and compliment him on the shininess of this zucchini.
You know what? The only time I don't want to see vegetables shine is when they're covered with a coating of breading. Anyway, moving right along. At the next stop was the potato, which, you know, if you're going to serve, you know, turkey buffet night, you have the, they were called parsnip whipped potatoes.
Oh, so they had parsnips in them.
I'm not familiar with this.
What's
is
a parsnip?
That what it is, Rob?
Yeah, parsnip is a root vegetable, not unlike a turnip or a rutabaga, and a longer, but it's sweet. It has a sweetness to it. So the potatoes were probably delicious.
I might say that I was a bit taken aback, but I got myself a spoonful.
Sure.
Anyway, to say, oh, we'll give these a try, and
what
the
we call a
no
delicious. Thank you portion. If you have, if you're served food that you don't like, you'd have to take a taste.
Well, next to the potatoes was the chafing dish filled to the brim with herb stuffing.
Oh.
Hey, it's turkey buffet night.
Yeah,
okay?
It's like Thanksgiving, but it's in October.
It's turkey buffet night. Following that, you had two other dishes that were proteins if people weren't turkey fans. You had a meatloaf and you had a salmon.
No ham?
No, there was no ham. No, it's not, you know.
Did you get some salmon?
No, I didn't get any salmon.
Salmon's boring.
I felt like the turkey last night. And then at the turkey station, they had a big, big tureen of turkey gravy right next to it, which I liberally put on my first and second helping.
Didn't you used to work there at the turkey station? I think it was 98.5.
Yeah. Hey, man, how you doing? How you doing? My name is Gobbledygee. I'm Gobbledygee, everybody.
Is there a point where you void the whatever warranty is on your new hips?
No.
Like, is there a point?
No. I'm getting stronger, believe it or not.
You can carry
I'm
more.
Getting stronger. Yeah.
With all that protein.
You already ripped the tag off.
Powerful.
You already ripped the tag off.
Voiding the warranty.
Yeah, exactly.
It was so. Now, listen. Some might say that there was no need for that, but it was just so spanking good. It was just, and by the way, Mrs. O'Meara, she did not get seconds, but she agreed with me that it was just simple, spectacular food. Any food is great if it's prepared well and it tastes
good,
right?
It's Thanksgiving, though.
Yeah.
It's Thanksgiving food.
Yeah. I disagree. Really. You know, I think the turkey, the fact that people usually only eat it on Thanksgiving and maybe sometimes Christmas.
I think it's a travesty.
A disservice to turkey. It's a delicious meat.
It was great.
Yes. And not hard to prepare.
So even with, and I'm talking two thin slices of turkey two times. All right. So
that's fine.
Four thin slices of
two
turkey.
Two dinners.
Yeah.
Two full meals. I am fully copping to this. I am owning this.
And when you finish your two plates of turkey, you're done eating for the day.
I enjoyed two dinners.
I would have laughed for turkey three times easy.
It was the thing, and then I would have been fine because I was sitting there and I was getting just a little bit of the.
Nap time.
Michael Tryptophan. Was acting out a little bit. He was acting out, and there were some neighbors around, and I'm like, get him to calm down. And then then Mrs. O'Meara said, I said, so you're going to get dessert? And
she didn't mention that.
She brought the little guy back a caramel sundae.
Was it like soft ice cream?
The ice cream is where they kind of drop the ball. They have the pre-portioned little balls of the vanilla ice cream that you can make a sundae.
Yeah.
But hey, you can't have everything, right?
They're focused on that shiny zucchini.
Have you guys ever had, if you're going to have a two-dinner night, right? And so, right, look, yes. I'm sure I've been there before, usually on
a
big holiday.
By the way, I was not anticipating it.
Surprise, surprise. You're like, this is great. I'm going to have another round.
Yeah.
And this was an important night.
Yeah.
This was an important night for us. It was a... Wednesday.
Hump day. Mike, have you ever, or Rob, or anybody in this room, have you ever had the dinner, the dessert, and then the dinner, and then the dessert again in that order? Or is it dinner, dessert?
No, I always close on sweet. I would never go back to the savory.
Is that a rookie move?
It depends. Yeah. You know what? What did he say?
He's done it, he says. He's done the dinner, dessert.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to give you a precise timeline, but I'm sure that if you're talking about dinner, dessert, and then later on, another dinner and then another dessert, especially around holidays, that might be a
But not like at one seating at a buffet. Like if you were to go to the Living Hell that is like a Captain George's seafood restaurant. And, you have the big buffet.
Not unless something like I had a nice dinner, a fabulous dessert, and then, we're sitting there just
you're
chatting.
Still hanging out.
And somebody brings by, like, nachos and wings. Yeah, you could go, not the dinner food per se, but like a...
An appetizer,
yeah. Nibbles. Yeah. So you're having coffee and talking to your wife, and someone says,
"Yeah, you finished your meal. You're sitting there. You're enjoying the company, and Jimmy brings out a plate of poutine.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say no. You know,
hey,
I mean that's just.
Hey, you might want to try this with some Costco baklava.
Exactly. Right.
Rob, when did you have? When's the last time you had dinner, dessert, dinner, dessert?
It was like 5 years ago in college. We had a Golden Corral or some kind of buffet up in West Virginia. I was in college.
Golden Corral, you can do it. You can do it at the Golden. You can do that.
And I think it wasn't so much gold as it was brown.
Brown Corral. Welcome to the Brown.
It had been a lot of drinking the night before, so we go to the Golden Corral for the breakfast. And this is a common move where you go for the breakfast at like 10 o'clock, right on the last part of the breakfast. So we had our breakfast, got some dessert, and then it had shifted over to lunch on the buffet.
Oh, my God.
So then we loaded up on the lunch items and, you know, dessert again, because why not?
He left with a pocket full of prime rib.
I'm not going to lie, and I am not proud of this, but the fact is, and I want to talk about health care during this show, too.
Why?
Which probably doesn't go well.
You deserve
but
everything
the
you
fact
get.
Is, I said, so Carla stands up. I said, you going to get... You going to get some dessert? And I swear to God, Rob, I did this. And she started to walk away from the table. I am a fat man, so I don't wish to get up at a public forum and select my desserts.
Oh, yeah.
Because I get the eyes. Don't think I don't. I get the eyes where, does he really need that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just had two hip replacements.
Enough with the hip replacements.
You get so self, goes. But you do get self-conscious.
Two turkeys,
you get
two
self-conscious. And as Mrs. O'Mara was two steps away from the table,
yes.
I channeled my inner Bing Crosby and I uttered the words, "Save some for Dad now."
Oh, no!
She was, for
hey,
whatever
caramel
reason.
Caramel Sunday, the best there is.
Caramel Sunday, well, it wasn't just. She brought herself back Caramel Sunday and brought me Chocolate Sunday.
Was it made with ice cream. Bing Crosby what? Brand ice cream?
Bing Crosby. Bum, bum, bum. That's fantastic. I tell you, this ice cream's so tasty, make me want to slap them silly. Yes, sir. Fantastic. Did I just get that?
The chocolate chips are bruised.
And then on the plate next to us was a slice of peanut butter pie, Reese's peanut butter pie, and a chocolate layer cake.
Please say it right. You know it must be said. Peanut butter pie!
Peanut butter pie! And we kind of shared all that.
Sure.
I got home, and this is for me. When I want to throw up, it is not a good situation. I'm not proud of any of this. And by the way, I know I'm going to take crap for it, okay?
No, no.
I know I'm going to take crap for it.
You've got to eat to keep up your strength.
Yes.
It was
my,
so wonderful.
My brother asked me.
It was such a surprise.
Yes. My brother over the weekend, he said, so like, with this breakfast, right? He's just doing his older brother thing. And he's like, so what does the next 5 years look like? I'm like, oh, you know, Mike just got two hips. Like, he's looking good. He's spry. Like,
right.
He's healthy.
Yep.
And then we have this conversation.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Conversation.
And by the way, I know Oscar, and he will reference this to me for the next 2.5 years. I am aware
I care about
that fact. Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to behave during the holidays.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Starts off with this very high-tech syntho-sequency type thing, like this. That's the news.
Because they couldn't program Wednesday nights.
You could make it less brutal by knocking a million or so off your salary. A bad joke. I'm sorry. Awful. It's a miserable day. And that was just some kind of sick joke defense mechanism. It just doesn't indicate any of my feelings. Not one.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
From the Fiverr Studios in our nation's capital, the Mike O'Mara Show. We are on now, the Mike O'Mara Show, a worldwide podcast and radio show with loyal listeners who get it. And if you're here, you are in the know. We are on air, on demand, and heard 24-7 on our TMOS app. Update yours. You'll love it. You get inside knowledge, like when we're doing our Wide Open Wednesdays and all sorts of wonderful stuff. It's a great app. You're going to love it. Reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. And I am here to tell you that I am involved with Mr. Marcus Serta in the draft.
Oh man.
I'm talking about our new favorite draft. It's weekly fantasy football, but it ain't like the other guys. You might have listened to us yesterday when we actually had Nikki Diamond on, and we did our draft live on the air. With draft, you're going to play real live snake drafts with other people, just like in a season-long league. Here's how it works. The draft lasts for just a week, and there's no management, no salary caps. Just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. Draft starts every couple of minutes, so you can join one right now.
Wait, when?
Hello. Here's the best part. Cold hard cash. Drafts start from just a dollar, so there's a draft for everyone, and I have news for Mr. Santana and Mr. Spiewak. I will be winning, even though my lineup that I handpicked, I am not necessarily confident in. Kirk Cousins, have a great game against the Niners. Do that for me, please. Come and join us on draft today. I got a bunch of followers on there, and I will follow you. I will follow you. It's M. O'Mara. That's my handle on draft, and you can also do it on your computer with playdraft.com. You can go to the App Store, get draft, join a game in minutes, or play right from your computer. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make the first deposit, but you got to use the promo code TMOS. That's right. Play a real money game for free just for using promo code TMOS on your first deposit on draft. Just search draft in the App Store or go to playdraft.com and play free with promo code TMOS. And we thank you.
Love
it. And gentlemen. It's food. And to be perfectly
honest, how was the gravy? Because, you know, gravy is, you know,
fantastic.
Sometimes, was it really?
It was fabulous.
Good.
It was fabulous.
That's good to know.
All right. I weighed as to whether I would talk about this on the show, but it is so top of mind that yesterday Mrs. O'Mara came to me as I was getting my little guy ready for school, and he is a terror and a joy simultaneously. That's what four. If you want to look forward to 4 years old, that's what it is. It is spectacular and horrible all at the same time, because he is at the age where you will look at him and say, are you going to behave, or am I going to take away a toy, or are you going to be in trouble when we get home and you're not going to get a tune? You have to go right to bed. And he'll do you want to behave or not? He goes, no. And that's kind of where we are right
God,
now.
It's so like, it seems like yesterday.
At least he's assertive about it.
Yeah.
He's very assertive.
He's decisive.
He's incredibly lovable. And then 6:30 the other morning, he gets up and he comes out and the room's dark. And Mrs. O'Mara, I'm giving her like 15 minutes of extra shut-eye. And he just sits there and crawls into my arms and we just chat. And he's just, I mean, he's phenomenal. It's the greatest thing in the world. And
what
Oscar,
do you guys chat about?
Oh, God. He will go.
The Harvey Weinstein thing?
Can you believe that creep? I know, Daddy.
I know.
He prefaces what he wants to say with, Dad, let me tell you something. Dad, I want to tell you something.
Like I want to tell you. That's awesome.
So I pay a gazillion dollars for healthcare.
Right.
I pay, my premiums are astronomical, but at the same time, I've had major stuff done, and I'm cool with that. Mrs. O'Mara has a separate health plan for her and my son.
She's a portrait of health, so I imagine it's good to keep it separate, right?
She is on a plan with my son. Mm-hmm. And I still think it's extremely high what they pay. And they pay almost $800 a month for their health care. That's what they pay. All right. So the they give you warnings with the healthcare situation. By the way, I'm not making a political stand here. No. This is not anti-Obamacare. For God's sakes, I wouldn't have health care if I didn't have Obama. I used to have one that was equally expensive, but it was crap because it didn't pay for anything. So I'm cool with that. Well, my premium is not relevant to this discussion. Carly gets her little notice yesterday, and her premiums were $797.57.
Okay.
For someone who gets, what, two checkups a year, takes my son in twice a year. Occasionally, he's got an issue where he right. goes in. You want to say 4 or 5 times a year, he's going to go see the doctor. They have raised her premium from $797.57. Her new premium will be, are you ready? Do we have a little timpani? Where's my timpani?
Drum roll.
Yeah.
Effing timpani when I want it. I swear to God. Oh, here it is. There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, her new premium will be $1,424.49 a month.
Jesus.
And like many, many families in America, that begs the question, you know, thank you. Do you even bother having it? And you want to know why people get sick
yeah.
and die in America. And it is, look, I've talked about insurance on every possible level.
Mm-hmm.
It, to me, is controlled theft.
Oh, yeah.
At every single life, home, auto. It is no longer a situation where you are getting these companies that are, insurance was predicated on a company making a little money on betting someone's not going to get yeah. sick or someone's not going to get
sheer
into
numbers.
A car accident.
Actuarial tables.
And,
so, yeah.
and it exploded into, what do you see on television more than anything else?
Medicine.
You see Geico. You see Geico every day. Progressive every day. Yeah. You see these insurance companies. It's constant. It's larceny, in my opinion.
Look, I know where you're coming from, Mike, and I actually asked Shannon to open up the mail. We briefly talked about this. I got a notice saying that we're getting bumped up, right?
It's that time of year.
She opened up the mail. Mine's going up roughly $200, right? I go to the doctor once a year, if that. Like, that's right. all I do.
Right. I give him more medicine than his doctor does.
Yes. But I'll say this, that on my end, when we bought into this healthcare system, and this is not something I'm happy about, but I understood from day one that the healthy would have to pay for the infirmed and then vice versa as we grow.
The people that don't get in car accidents pay for the people that get in car
yes.
accidents.
Exactly.
That's
Am I flawed that even though I'm paying more, which sucks, right? That right. I'm still buying into the system because I'm hoping that as we grow and more people get into the system, we'll be able to take care of it and these premiums will eventually go down.
I can't tell you whether I believe that anymore. I can't tell you whether I think that's going to happen because
yeah, in
they
theory,
are now
that
taking,
work.
They're now screwing the people that she's healthy. My son is healthy.
Now, if it doubled, you best believe Shannon would be finding a government job so I could get on that health insurance.
Yeah. If mine doubled, I would go, okay, it's horrible, but I would say, well, look at Johnny Fakehip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hips.
But she's the reason we kept her separate was for this. And what I'm telling you, Oscar, I don't know. I got no clue. Yeah. And listen, you might say, well, there's your Obamacare. Well, that's fine. Blame whoever you want. But what's
I'm not blaming everybody. I don't care who put the healthcare together. What it's, I'm saying is I am still, and I could be wrong and I could be a rube. And again, you're still all in. I'm in because I was ready for this pain. I knew it was going to get worse, and I braced myself for it, and it sucks.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping in the long run, this will all level out.
And 20% pain is a lot of pain. 100%
I agree.
It's too much.
Is larceny.
Yeah.
And by the way, for all the people that are saying right now, well, Mike, you know, you can make modifications. Yeah, I know that. I know that we can call the up and have the discussion about, hey, how fewer benefits we're going to get and how larger deductible and all that crap, which we're going to do, where you're going to negotiate with these dicks, where they're going to say, okay, you're going to get that.
But the fact remains,
I thought it shouldn't be in your court.
A lot of people are going to go through this. So it's actually important we're talking about it now because it's going to brace people whether... Because I don't see them going down at all for anybody, especially people that are healthy.
By the way, they're going to... And listen, don't
politicize.
Deceived with the political argument, okay? Because you know what? And I will get political for a second.
Okay.
The political argument is the white old guys want to take the signature piece of legislation enacted by the young black guy, and they want to blow it up. And they'd rather do that than get a because that's what they want, okay? They want it. It's not. There's no rhyme or reason behind it. That's what they want. And that's going to screw people even more, because then if somebody gets sick, they're not going to have the options. The whole thing. Look, the one thing I think everybody agrees upon is the whole system is so completely flawed and broken.
Yeah.
It's so destroyed. When you're paying $500 for a pill of some kind, the whole thing is broken. And I got news for you. They do it right in other countries. Well, you'd have to wait in line. I got news for you. You wait in line in America, too.
Of course.
We're not perfect with this. And it's just stunning how broken it is. It's horrible.
Again, my ideology could be flawed. And I don't want people to write me why it's flawed. I'm just going to live my life and pay my bills. All right? So, if you would say that, and I'm going to ask you, Mike, a year ago when you were getting your second hip done, right?
Yes.
We were here, we were high-fiving that you were able to do it, because otherwise you wouldn't be insured. You wouldn't be able to get your hips done, right?
Right.
So I would say that for the perspective that you're coming from, you're the reason why.
You're tying my family into me. You can't do that.
No.
They're separate
policies. But my policy's going up because I'm paying for the people that are infirm now. Separate policies.
What my point is that it's all out of control. It's not in control. You absolutely, all insurance should work that way.
Mm-hmm.
All insurance should be you're paying, and the difference
when you're sick,
you have less of a chance of getting into your car accident as I do of getting into my car accident because of the age and everything else and physical condition. But that's the point. That's what insurance is predicated. It's insane what I pay, and it's insane what you pay.
Oh, I agree.
I know you're saying you're still buying into it. Well, you're buying into it, but it's not a question of you paying in and helping me out that needs it more. It's everybody being in a system, but the system is so flawed and it comes back to just costs.
And you have to wonder about the system. Is it too late to even look back? Because when Oscar enumerated the theory, the more people get involved, the lower rates will go, and we're gonna have to bear a little burden until we get there.
No mistake,
but they love the money so bad that they'll never look back.
No, the people that love the money are the managers of all this
crap.
Yes,
of course.
There are people that are getting phenomenally rich on the back. These are the people that are the managed care people. These are the people, and by the way, all the insurance companies aren't getting bull. Yeah, come on. I think that the whole thing is, I don't believe
it's certainly
either
frustrating.
The only thing I can tell you personally is without the legislation that came down the pike, I would have gotten nothing. I'm taking myself out. The reason I'm putting my wife on this is because she has there's no connection to me when we get two separate things. I'm not on the application. It's her and my son. That's the way we separate the two. You want to know the total cost? It's not even manageable for our family if you add me in. If you'll laugh. I'm not telling you because it would be embarrassing. I will say this, that it's just so screwed up and broken, and it's so sad, and it's just, I know everybody's suffering like this.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think I do have a solution, and I know a lot of people have waited for this. Here it is. Here's the entire healthcare system in the United States. Are you ready? Here we go. Now, this starts, I think, ultimately, not with insurance or anything to do with insurance. This starts with the cost of what we pay. That's where you focus on all this crap.
It starts with the cost.
Yeah. And by the way, you're going to have a few orthopedic surgeons that aren't going to be able to drive the Maybach. Okay, I'm sorry, but it's just, we need to understand that in this wonderful world of ours, you have to, everybody's got to take a little bite out of it. And for some people, taking a little bite out of an incredibly luxurious lifestyle is worth it, so Johnny lives in the trailer, doesn't get cancer, and die. That's the way I look at it.
And
that's
the
way I believe. It's a compassionate way of looking at it.
Is it not the case that the reason that the cost is so high is rooted in the last 50 years or so of the fear of malpractice? And what is malpractice backed by but insurance?
This is going to be the hard part for a number of years, because the more people have access to healthcare, and this is, again, maybe it's flawed, but this is what I buy into.
What? I don't understand what your point is. I'm not sure where you're going. And tell me what you're really saying, because I'm not sure.
I don't understand what you're saying. This is part of the process, and it's not going to be easy for everybody.
I think you're rolling down a tougher than tough love type of thing where it's not going to be for every. I don't know what you're. I mean, I believe here's the simple part of it. I believe that when I'm paying taxes to the federal government, that everybody, people in the United States of America should not be allowed to die or go bankrupt because of a health problem.
Mike, you're not letting me finish my point. My point is this, this tough row we're going to hoe is going to allow more access for more people to healthcare early on. That's going to stop any debilitating, catastrophic illness and sickness, which is the most expensive, right?
But they have to do it. If they don't buy into it, then we're not going to get it. So people that are younger and healthier have to. That's part of the thing. And
I'm putting my money where the younger and healthier are doing that.
Here's the way I look at it. I look at it this way. Everybody in America, our two biggest problems are healthcare and taxes financially. Wouldn't that be probably what it is?
Yes.
And both situations can be simply fixed. And the fact is, but they're not going to be simply fixed and keep the rich people still making all the money. It's not going to work like that. I don't think you can ask people to sacrifice that are on the low end of the spectrum. I can't. I don't think you can do that, because if you look around the world, you know, you're looking at the people that are getting fat and happy on this, and there's so much friggin' wealth and money around, and people stop being rubes. Stop being rubes, and you only have one way to deal with it, and that is to get people up in Washington, where this show originates, that believe in human compassion. Otherwise, we're going to die in the streets. And you go, well, maybe if he planned more, maybe if he saved more, maybe if he did. And there are plenty of people, doctors, that say healthcare is not a right. It's a privilege. And I say to that, I disagree. And that's as political as I get about it, because we are going to get screwed. There are going to be people that are going to be living, eating grapes on gold plates in beautiful locations with 13,000 square foot mansions, and it does not work.
Wouldn't you rather take what we have right now than what the other option is, realistically? Yes,
I am
like
looking
to blow it up, but no one's going to blow it
looking,
up.
I am looking at a situation. I know you say blow it up. I mean, I'm looking at a situation now where I have to. I am here.
Yes.
I arrived here this morning where I'm looking at, can I? I cannot insure my family. And I am not a poor man. I make a living. I make a living from a variety of sources, not just this podcast. I am sitting here looking at this. I am not somebody that is having trouble feeding my family. I am looking at this and going, this is astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
This is not equitable. And it's stunning to me how I cannot believe how many people just don't kick the bastards out, all of them, and just get people in there. We pay taxes, for Christ's sake.
Yes.
Help us out. People are dying out here. People are dying out here, and I'm just tired of it. And you know what? I eat the S sandwich, and every now and then the S sandwich just does not, it's not digestible. Mm-hmm. And this was one of those days the other day when I got that, and I said, it's not digestible. You're right. Do we accept that this is the...
The lesser
Oscar,
two evils?
I guess I would have to say yes at this point, but you can certainly see. Let me see if I can come up with a good analogy here. You've got a car. Our healthcare system is a car.
Okay.
And your car is a 1994 beater that is barely hanging on. And someone says, you know, you ought to get rid of that. I've got a 1987 that runs great, mm-hmm. but then you get into that 1987 and that collapses as well. Mm-hmm. We don't have the alternatives that are being substituted. I don't see that as being viable too. I read every single sentence that's written about it, and it to me is horrible, because more people are going to be screwed on that. So Oscar's right. You basically take what we have now because it's all we have. I don't know, man.
I was scared when it was going to be repealed. I was like, well, I got to figure out.
It was going to be repealed.
Sure.
There are thousands of Americans that are scared when it's going to be repealed. And then you get this and you go, well, they're making the argument. And by the way, I don't trust them, Rob. I think they're all in cahoots.
I do, too.
I really do. I think the insurance companies are going, hey, we're going to raise them to the point where people can't handle it anymore.
When I see all the stuff that goes on, my image in my head is that of Lincoln Logs. And they're all built on each other, going higher and higher and higher. And the reason things will never change is because the people that would make the changes could never benefit from the change.
So
they have no interest at all.
It's so scary.
And they'll tell us what we want to hear, and they'll soft soap it, and they'll say, oh, you know, at least you're covered. Well, you know what? No, we're not.
Yeah. So for those of you that say, hey, horrifying. What are you guys talking about this for? Why are you keeping it light? F you. I talk about it because it's important to people. And you know what? I'm certainly not in any way the person that's dealing with adversity like some people are dealing with adversity out there. It's friggin' sad. And it's sad in a country like this when you see so much, a country that has so much, and we are sitting there, and people every day, you know, I want to identify them. I want to identify the people that profit from this world, right? Because you know they're out there. They come in, you know, they come in executive suites from these companies that benefit. Drug companies.
They'll be at the Nats game today if you want to go find them.
They're the Nats there.
Are the suites? The suites yesterday.
Because they're the only ones that can get tickets. That's right. That's it. I'm sorry. Thank you for the rant.
Well, at least we have a great unifying force at the top of our government, Michael.
Yeah, but Oscar, to answer your question, I thought you were going down another road. The answer to your question is, I'm going to do whatever I can to stay in this because there's nothing. I have no alternative. I have no choice.
Again, I've got the bronze program, which is not the best program, and I'm still getting jacked up.
That's how they tier it, too.
Sure.
That's how they tier. They even bonus that.
Bronze isn't platinum.
Would you like the platinum, the gold, or the bronze? Yeah. Or would you like the green one? The green one that's the rusted, tainted one that we all... And by the way, here's our chief executive. He's in the double platinum diamond one. Yes, sir.
Do you have an aluminum? I'll buy the aluminum.
I'll take it. Not rusting.
I've got something for that executive. Take a look at this. It's brown.
Okay. Oh, no. The brown
level.
And
you can taste it. Thank you very much. We'll take a break. And we'll try to get funny again right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And your cheeks.
It's Tony and Gary.
Yay! Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
I'm Gary Stein.
And on this week's episode of the show, Gary, I went to see an MMA event last week. I have found the venue for you and I to have our fight.
This again, huh?
Let me tell you, we will put butts in the seats. You and I boxing each other.
I don't care about butts. I want people.
People would be attached to the butts.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yes, you and me, mano a mano.
Could you just keep doing the promo?
I'm going to try to put this together. Gary and I in a cage fighting each other. I think it's going to be spectacular, and I will win. Check it out, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and download the Tony Perkins Show app.
The Tony Perkins Show.
This again?
Oh, man. SAMA, Skinny Arms Martial Arts. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Paper cuts everywhere.
This portion of the show brought to you by Sleep Number. Hey, it's fall. Life is hectic. That's why I care about getting a good night's sleep. You know, we deal with problems. We just talked about them. But the fact is, during the day, to be your best, you need a good night's sleep. And how about a Sleep Number bed? It's affordable. It lets you choose your ideal comfort and support on each side. Perfect bed for couples. The newest beds are so smart, they actually sense your every move and automatically adjust so you stay sleeping comfortably throughout the night. They even have an adjustment for snoring, and a lot of beds don't do that.
That's true.
Does yours? I don't think so. My Sleep Number setting is an 85. Carla's is a 65. And last night, my Sleep IQ score was a 90. And that extra 5 that I normally have, the 95, probably was because of that bill I got. Anyway, I feel great. Sleep Number beds cost about the same as a traditional mattress, but they last twice as long. Plus, 91% of owners... it says plus and 91% of owners recommend them. Plus and 91% of owners recommend them. Best of all, right now, queen mattresses start at only $699.99. You'll only find Sleep Number at any of the 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Call 800-511-0061 or visit sleepnumber.com to find the store near you. And here's the most important part. It helps us if you let them know that you got it because Mike O'Mara sent you. All right, go into a Sleep Number store and tell them
Do it today.
Do it. Come on, jerks.
Sorry. There was just no way that I could go forward without venting.
Feel better, though? And, helped?
Well, I do. I do. I mean, because it really is, I think ultimately we get back to where Oscar said, where you it's what we've got and we have to deal with it.
You know what I'm scared about, honestly, if I'm just going to, and I hate, this is not political, it's just, it's the way I feel. And the doctors that think that healthcare is for everybody and a volunteer and do the work that you think someone that gets in that profession should be doing for the community. That's my brother and sister and my father when he was in public
health. That doesn't surprise me in the least. I've met Jose.
So,
you've told me stories about him. He's generous to his own family and he's generous to everybody he deals. I'm sure they are. I bet they do a ton of stuff.
And my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, same deal. So for me, it hits close to home, right?
Sure.
But it also hits close to home in a place where my perspective is global, and I'm lucky because my father worked for the World Health Organization for 25 years, right?
Right.
So I was privy to seeing what healthcare is around the world outside of Canada, but it really in the Pan-American countries. And I sit here and I say, man, the idea that we got to universal healthcare in the first place blows my mind for this country.
Yeah.
Shocks me, right? And the price tag is high, and it's I also look at this from an economist's point of view. I remember when interest rates during the 80s were 17%, 12% for a mortgage. You were happy I remember my dad walking in for 11% for a mortgage, right?
Yeah, and
that was a tough time for our parents and those who lived in the 80s and had to try to buy a home or get financing on anything. And I kind of equate this time now that we are paying it forward for this next generation. And when we rail against it, I think it just gives people more ammunition to kill it.
Well, yeah, but you see, you can rail against it.
You might have a point. I'm not going to argue with you about that.
And I know what you're saying is that, you know, we are paying it forward, but we have no guarantee that we're paying it forward. That's the problem.
Same thing with Social Security.
Yeah,
you still pay it, right?
Yeah, got to.
But you don't know. And it just, I think that maybe, I am playing. God, that makes me, now I'm going to stew on that all day, that I'm playing into their hands by railing against the increase. But it just is something that I just feel like we're getting duped. I feel like there's collusion. When they send me that bill, and by the way, Oscar, I texted you mine.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want. That's what they want me to pay.
Jesus
Christ. I just glanced over the text. Said two lines.
That's an addition to hers.
No lube,
which is 14.24.49. So you just add that.
Oh my God!
Sent you. So I think maybe there's collusion afoot. But that's why I think it's important to deal with more important subjects, especially on this show, like Harvey Weinstein.
Oh yes. Talk about insurance.
Yeah,
man, I hope they had a balloon payment.
The man looks like a balloon payment.
Not for the balloon knot.
But
can
you say that?
What are
the
you, Harvey man?
Weinstein? But that is the type of stuff we obsess about, and we do. And then, you know, you might say, I think on one of the shows, somebody said something like, has it officially turned now where this is going to be
the tipping point?
This is going to, you're not going to have this. You're going to have people that aren't going to wait for 25 years to come forward about because he's a powerful mogul. I think that this, who knows how long this has gone on in the corporate sector. You know, I grew up in the 1980s on radio stations. I knew that at a Christmas party, you might have somebody hook up with somebody else and it wouldn't be, nobody'd even talk about it.
Hooking up.
They'd laugh about it.
Well, no, there's a difference between hooking up and sanctioned cultural predatory behavior in the workplace.
Well,
big difference.
His behavior, it's weird when you think about it. It's when you see what he did, where he's standing in a hallway and he's saying, come watch me take a shower.
Yes.
Is not only perved out and unacceptable, even back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the culture will change where, you know, you can't go near there. We came up, you guys were working at the radio station when we had to sit down and review the corporate practices of sexual harassment. And it was new.
But I had to watch the videos.
But there was the years leading up to that, before we saw those videos, that it was like a playground at times. It was very fast and very loose.
It was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I never in my career was aware of an executive pulling this kind of crap where you would hear about something, but it was a different world. You know, we didn't have in Hollywood, when you're talking about
CBS radio, no one ever advanced.
No one ever advanced anyway. They just didn't spend any
money.
You talk about Hollywood where, I'm trying to find the right word.
Would it be a safe word to say
desperation where somebody walks into an office like that?
It's what it is. It's leverage. Okay. So think about this. One of the alleged victims, and confirmed they settled out of court, was a model from Europe, and I forget her name.
Was it Miss Italy?
Might have been.
I think so, yeah.
She arrived at the hotel, and to paraphrase, there were three scripts that he was going to green light, and he was going to get her involved if she was going to have a threesome with one of his victims. Essentially, this happened. He said, I will green light these, and I'll get you involved with these three scripts, these next three movies that I'll get involved with, and I'll pave your career and launch your career if you have a threesome with my assistant and I, right?
Oh, so the assistant, so there was a...
Okay, I had not heard this.
Yeah, was the assistant a female?
I saw this last night. Yeah, female.
Was the assistant a female?
Female,
so there was
female
a
assistant.
Co-conspirator
right?
involved.
So that's just one of the allegations. There are over two dozen women involved, and it's rising every day. That instance
not for
right
Harvey.
There.
No.
That terrible. Instance right there is essentially the leverage of... It's tough business to get into in the first place. But no, I will make your career if you do this.
And it's prostitution.
And what I was saying was the desperation level for and I don't it's the wrong word, but it's known that in the area of show business, the hardest thing to get any traction in is any kind of movie career. Then you go to TV, then you go, and then by the time you get down to DJs, even that's difficult. You know, one tenth of 1% end up with a microphone in front of them. All show business is difficult. The movie business is damn near impossible. There are brilliant writers, actors, directors
Never got their break.
That never get work at all. They never got their break. So you've got that complete desperation for this animal to come in and do this. And don't think for 1 second that look, the perv end of things might be a little isolated, but the actual sexual harassment is not.
Right.
And it takes its shape in many different ways.
Also, when it becomes cultural, and I'll give you a little more, I took a deep dive in this because it just, the idea that this is all changing, the business side of it, in other words, we've never seen something so dynamic in a shift so quickly. Harvey Weinstein was up for a new contract for the Weinstein Company in 2015. So the board does its due diligence to find out, what type of risk are we taking on? How long are we going to renew his contract for? Let's clarify the liabilities that are out there. So the board did their investigation. Now, the majority of the board for the Weinstein Company, who is supposed to make sure that this company's running right in tip-top shape, right? And morally and financially, they said that there are allegations, at least, that they say that some of them knew about these settlements.
All right.
They hired an independent lawyer that they were so concerned about it to go and verify these settlements and see if there was going to be risk to the company. The lawyer came back and said, these have been settled. There's no outstanding risk to the company.
There's a guy that's high-fiving somebody right now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Their names
that's a guy that's
everywhere,
up.
Right? Their names are everywhere. So careers are just not even stars, but professionals in that business are being dashed.
So the Harvey Weinstein firing is the, there's going to be a domino effect where there are going to be other people that
screw this
up.
I don't think that company rebrands. I don't think it survives.
You think it's going to be that fatal?
I think if the board is involved and they have, once they do their investigation and they have the letters and emails back and forth about other settlements, realizing that this culture was condoned, you can't come back from that.
Yeah, you know, they're talking about initially when he got fired that they were going to take, obviously, the Weinstein name off the company and rebrand it. But you're absolutely right. If it goes that far, the sea change of the way things happen, that to me is the silver lining, that now you will have the prospect of this not happening. But I will tell you something. This kind of behavior still will exist with closed doors.
Yep.
And do you think that this Weinstein, the most high-profile sexual harasser in the history of Hollywood, goes down in brilliant flames? Do you think that ultimately this changes things for vulnerable young women who are beautiful, who are part of that Hollywood machine? Do you think it will change?
I think this changes the landscape across all industries. It's so public. I don't think it's gonna fix it. But I'll tell you this: that and I want to be clear. There are ex-girlfriends and willing participants in this Weinstein case where like they dated, they might've gotten into a film. Like there was no charges pressed. Like it was consensual, right?
Oh, I guarantee you, if you look at the entire history of the guy, you're going to find consensual situations,
sure.
But you're also going to find this crap happen a lot. What I heard when Rob played the audio the other day on the show, what I heard was a man who has a compulsion.
A predatory compulsion.
A man who
compulsion.
Actually needs the treatment he's going to get, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there are hundreds of people. This is a guy that obviously had a libido that was unchecked, and a lot of this is going to happen.
That happens when you have a very healthy lifestyle, and you can see that in his face.
Like Harvey?
Well, yes.
One of his board members, when they were asking them about the risk factor in 2015 about re-signing, there's actual documentation where he alleges in the conversation, he goes, I thought that he was essentially cheating on his wife or girlfriend, whatever it was, and he was a philanderer. Mm-hmm. So he was just paying these people off for their silence. Even that.
That's not okay.
There's a little bit there to be like, that's how you sign off on it, right?
Yeah, you got a corporate culture that's a little screwy right there. Is that? Are we in the...
We're late.
Oh, my God. Are we that late?
Yeah, we're that late.
Oh, no. All right, we got to take a break. We will come back, finish this discussion up about Harvey Weinstein. It's Harvey's fault. It's healthcare's fault.
Stupid
It's a
Harvey.
Serious show. We do them once in a while. You know, we got to cover these topics. We'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
OmaraCast brings you the biggest names and more broadcasting and the fans together in one place.
This is Goat from D.C.
I'm Lisa King from Lake Ridge, Virginia.
I'm Veronica from Seattle.
This is Zoolander. From Washington, D.C.
Share your voice on an upcoming show. It's easy to be a part of the fun. Go to Facebook.com/OmaraCast or send a tweet to OmaraCast. Just like the mailbag, OmaraCast is... All about you. OmaraCast. Download it today on iTunes or at MikeOmaraShow.com.
Well, you know, when it comes to Harvey Weinstein, you know that there will be many magazine articles written about this. And I am telling you, it is a great app. Texture is the app that gives you unlimited access to over 200 magazines right on your tablet or smartphone. It is the only way that I get my magazine content now. I love it. Here's the great thing about Texture. You get all the magazines, all the ones you want, and they're fantastic. You can read all day right from your phone or tablet. Texture is totally searchable. It has daily recommendations. It's exclusive interactive features. It's got videos. And here's the great thing about Texture. For one low fee, you get all the magazines. And if you go in there and get a subscription rate for all these different, you're not going to be able to do that.
No.
But you want to get Texture for just a small fee. It's normally $9.99 a month. If you sign up right now, texture.com/TMOS, you get a 14-day free trial and see how amazing it is to go look at all the magazine covers from the latest magazines.
Everything you want.
It's great. Texture, one of Apple's top 2016 iPad apps. So throw another log on the fire and start your free trial right now. Right now, Texture is offering our listeners a 14-day free trial when you go to texture.com/TMOS. That's 14 days to try Texture absolutely free when you go to texture.com/TMOS. Get busy reading way more for way less. texture.com/TMOS. And we thank you. So to wrap it up, the question is, will this effect change in all corporations so that a perv like Harvey Weinstein, who used his money and his power to sexually harass these women and in many cases commit illegal activities allegedly with these women, rape, that this will make progress? I know it won't eradicate it. Do you think it will make progress?
I think it will start the process. I think it will start the process. And I think the fact that it is the lead story and not just... This could have been just a tabloidy Access Hollywood news story, but now this is full-fledged. This is nightly news stuff.
Do you think
everyone's
that's because
gonna
of
hear
the
it.
Scope of it, though?
Mm,
because it's so many people.
Yeah, I do. I do, as a matter of fact.
Got involved.
And what's going to happen is that the youthful actress of today is going to know that if they out somebody, it will affect some change. Because before now... I can't think of a situation, maybe the Cosby situation, but that was different because that was, to me, not about promising power to people for
but
sexual relations.
He had a lot of power.
He did. He did. But with the possible exception of the Cosby situation, I think that this is going to show people what can be done if they're put into this situation.
It gives, again, if you are a struggling actress or put yourself in any workplace, right?
Okay.
Where you're making... you're making the rent barely, mm-hmm. and you have a boss that is aggressive and he's bothering you, he's making you uncomfortable, and you don't have any interest in him, and there's nothing that you want to be a part of, you just want to work there.
Mike,
you quit your job and lose the opportunity to make rent because that's your job.
Well, this is like healthcare.
Wait. Let him finish his point.
Or do you go to human resources, blackball yourself because you don't trust that system?
Sure.
And you keep your job, but you know that there's no way that you're going. So you're essentially looking for another. I mean, that's the logic. Now, the logic now is to say, maybe now you trust the system better because this public outcry, the court of public opinion says you shouldn't lose if you're in an uncomfortable situation and you're getting unwanted advances.
Here's where I think it changes. It changes if the potential monsters that are out there, the potential douchebags that are out there that might participate in this kind of behavior, take a step back. If they don't want to step back, you got the power, you got the money, you got the closed door. Unless there's a body cam on every actress going in for an audition, I wish I could be more optimistic.
Yeah, but
I still think there are a lot of monsters
out there. But there's also, and this is not the Weinstein case, but there's also, I think I mentioned earlier, people that are like, okay, this is equitable to me. Like, we do this happens for me, right?
And what do you mean? I'm not sure
like
what you mean.
If you...
The people that are complicit, they're complicit in trading favors...
For favors.
For jobs.
Like, this is what... And I'm not talking... Again, take this away. I don't think the culture of, if I do this, I'll do that.
Right.
That I don't think that'll ever end. But I think the people that are attacked and are essentially violated in that manner, and they're not complicit to it... And they don't feel like it's appropriate, and there isn't like an office romance or something that happens like that.
And if they make the sacrifice, then he's not going to be able to come back and do it
again. Yes,
yes. I agree with that. Yeah. It's still not a rosy picture.
No.
Because I
would have slept
this
with anyone when I was 21 to get an air shift.
Ruffo, I will need that settlement.
Not dudes.
Signed by you.
Maybe. Who knows? That's pretty desperate.
Oh, I'm silent, Mike. We're in the clear.
It wasn't just the hockey game.
You weren't silent that night.
When you drove him home, drove him home.
Home driver.
Yeah, it was exciting. Yeah.
How'd you like his Harley?
It's nice.
I don't know if that would rise to the level of harassment, but I certainly think for all the interns that have driven Rob and myself from appearances to our domiciles, I think it probably falls into the category of torture.
Yes.
But
that's the taste of charity.
Right. No, next exit. No, the other one.
Well, you know what? It's been a very interesting show. It's not like a normal show that we do, and occasionally we do that. We are going to get more observations on the world from our Bolivian Bloviator when we come back with Oscar's Take, right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Let's get to know our friends at KCJJ. Tom Suter. He loves to play guitar. He was a member of the popular rock and roll group, the B-52s. Tom stands an impressive 7'2" in his bare feet. Tom loves to tinker in his workshop and is responsible for inventing the bottle cap, cocktail sauce, and the scotch tape dispenser. Tom is happily married now, but escorted Jill Clayburgh to the 1978 Oscars and got to third base. Tom studied baking for 9 years and made the wedding cake for many of Larry King's marriages. And Tom owns a magic stapler. But mostly, Tom is the general manager of radio station KCJJ, airing the Mike O'Mara Show since 2009. Thank you, Tom. And thank you, KCJJ.
1630 KCJJ.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Are you scared, kids?
Ooh!
Halloween is fast approaching, and Amazon is your haunted headquarters. All the boys and ghouls are shopping through our Amazon portal. Cool kids like Jessica Britt. She bought a Hoover Power Scrub Deluxe Carpet Cleaner. Perfect for removing bloodstains. Joelle Hall bought an amber glass spray bottle. That's an ideal size for filling with poison. And Ashley Heron Scott. Oh, I'm sorry. Ashley Heron. Always love the...
Three name people.
I've loved the three names for my entire life. Ashley Heron Scott bought 2 cash boxes because she just volunteered to run a middle school book fair. Welcome to hell. Amazon has costumes, candy, all the horrifying paraphernalia your haunted house... let me do it again.
Yeah.
Amazon has costumes, candy, all the horrifying paraphernalia that your haunted heart desires.
The world.
Shopping Amazon.com through our portal changes nothing for you. Means the world to this show. Do your shopping at Amazon and please access it via TMOS. Use the terrifying TMOS app or go through our spooky website. Now go spend money and spend a lot of it. Had some many, many different things going on. We have a programming note that we will not be doing a bonus show this week. Sometimes that happens during the course of the year. We will be back with a brand new bonus show next week. Okay?
It'll be twice as funny next week, though. So it all comes out even. Yeah.
So look for that. Now, it's time for
Oscars Day.
Oscars Day?
A review and comment on the... Did you do a Ron Burgundy?
Yes.
A review and comment on the news of the day that may or may not affect you, as only our Bolivian bloviator can do it. The opinions expressed are solely Oscar Santana's and do not represent the views of the Michael Marish. Its listeners or the majority of right-thinking citizens of the United States. And now... Oscars take.
Oscars take?
Oscar? Hi.
Hi. Gentlemen, before we get started, I just want to mention that I love Lamp.
Tribute to Anchorman.
It's a brick.
A new survey, Oscar, found 47% of bosses don't mind if you're late every now and then, and another 10% don't care at all. As long as you get your work done. But when it becomes a trend, we dig pretty deep for good excuses. 34% of people in the survey claim they're never late for work. 31% said they're late a few times a year. 15% said a few times a month. 12% said a few times a week. And 7% said every day.
Mm.
I welcome your take on this situation.
Gentlemen.
Yes.
I really believe you should be measured by the body of your work and not what time you get to work. Because if you leave at 3 p.m. and you arrive 10 minutes late, isn't it better that you stayed and worked till 3 p.m. or 5 p.m. for most people?
Nope. All right, you're listening to Oscar's Take, ladies and gentlemen. Moving on, the votes are in and America has chosen. Do I sound like Willy Wonka? I sound like Jack Albertson.
A little bit.
The votes are in and America has chosen.
You said votes.
The votes.
Votes.
Lay's latest potato chip flavor is... Oh, I need it again. I'm going to the Timp.
Yes.
Here it is. You voted. They've got it. Crispy Taco. Ellen Sarum of San Antonio, Texas, who came up with the winning flavor, took home $1 million for
her
submission.
Does she have a crispy taco?
Behave.
I'm sorry. That was totally uncalled for.
It was their Do Us a Flavor contest. She was... Sarum says she was inspired because tacos were the first thing she whipped up for her now fiancé, a meal that did not go over very well as she missed crucial ingredients like cheese and salsa.
Oh, dear.
Sarem is very happy with how the chips turned out. You can taste the crunch of the taco shell, the spiciness of the beef, the sharpness of the cheddar, even the freshness of the lettuce. This was written by an ad agency.
Of course it was.
Come on now. Crispy Taco beat out this year's other two finalists, Everything Bagel with Cream Cheese and Fried Green Tomato. So Crispy Taco, which is basically a Dorito.
Yeah.
But what's your...
Fellas, I've had all three, and I'll say that Lay's and Big Chip got us again, because all they're doing is moving a flavor they don't give an F about. That's it. They just get
rebranding it.
Yeah, they're rebranding it.
Sure.
And by the way, half the flavors don't taste like what they say.
They're
missing something.
Yeah.
And see, we don't need more chips. We don't need them. Our healthcare is suffering.
That's right.
Repeal it.
Wow.
You're listening to Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
Oscar, a fruit company over in Spain has invented an actual diet avocado. It's got 30% of the fat of a regular avocado, made by Euro Banyan's Isla Bonita brand. The so-called avocado light is described as having a mild flavor, juicier pulp, and ripening. It ripens fast, yet oxidizing. I don't know what that means. It doesn't turn gray, is what they're trying to say.
Yeah, the brown part, yeah.
So this means it theoretically could outlast a full-fat conventional avocado. Anyway, it's a new avocado from Spain. That's what they've got.
Guys,
light, avocado light.
I don't believe in all this. We're going to make this better for you, because there's no such thing as diabetes. Because the reality is, if you're going to eat the real thing, eat it. Because if you're going to get a diet avocado, it looks like the real thing.
Sure.
Eat the real thing.
Yeah, don't just look at it, Mike.
Avocados from Mexico are my favorite, by the way.
Ah, thank you. That's
yes.
Maybe we can get them as a sponsor. Ooh. That would be wonderful.
The real thing.
Item on Oscar's Take, an abbreviated version today. Oscar, a 22-year-old MMA fan in Brazil. His name was Luis Felipe Alvim. Thank you, Rob. He wanted to go to a fight with his girlfriend the other night, but he couldn't afford tickets. He didn't have the money, so he even tried to sell brownies outside outside the venue. But it wasn't enough, so unfortunately he dug deep and used his rent money to get inside. Apparently he likes MMA. Before the main event, one of the fighters dropped out, and Luith was right around the same weight, so he offered to step in and replace him. Now, he's not a total amateur. He trained in Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu, but he'd never fought in an MMA fight before, so he's really just supposed to be a punching bag. And as soon as the fight started, that's what happened. The guy was getting his ass kicked.
Right.
His opponent got him on his back, and he started raining down the blows. You've seen MMA.
Yes.
Where they get him, and they start nailing. It looked like the ref might stop it, but then the guy got cocky that was fighting Luis, and Luis got him into a triangle chokehold.
Oh, damn. Technique.
A taco-flavored Lay's potato chip.
Crispy taco. Yeah.
Well, he got his legs wrapped around the guy's neck. He ended up winning. Luis knocked the guy out in the first round. It's not clear how much money he made, but he shouldn't have a problem paying his bills now. So, by the way, he then got down on one knee in the middle of the ring and proposed to his girlfriend, and she said yes. And that's kind of why I brought this to you on
Gentlemen, the big loser is the girlfriend, because he should have known from the get-go. It doesn't matter what he did in the octagon. Selling brownies at an MMA fight is clearly the wrong pastry. You just can't sell that. You can't move it. It's not what you want. It would have been maybe a churro or two would have been better.
Surprised me with that one, that he went back to that. That's Oscar's take, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Oscar. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
We are going to come in. Rob, did you you usually on Friday bring in some fully developed little seedlings?
Well, what they are, Mike, is I know you like black tea. This is the green tea equivalent of sounds. These are young, immature, tender, sweet sounds.
And they don't turn gray after they've been sitting out a
Their
while.
Their diet sounds.
They've got a little premium.
Looking forward to that. We'll have the audio vault with Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, everybody. This is Nameberry reminding you to send in your mail for the mailbag that Rob reads on the Mike O'Mara Show. All you have to do is include it. Send it to Rob with two P's at MikeO'MaraShow.com, and then maybe we'll read your message on the radio podcast.
What about the address, man, Barry?
Shut up, Rob.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. I have a bonus package commercial in here. I'm going to rip it up right now.
Oh, I got to run it late.
I want to say I am thrilled. It's pretty exciting when we do a show, and I work with people that not only get married and don't go to a honeymoon and come in and work all week, but somebody loses a stepfather and wants to clear his head by coming in and doing his job because he loves it so much all week long. Those are the two people that I work with, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Oscar Santana, Mr. Rob Spiewak. I wish for all of you that you can have a job at the end, towards the end of your career, where you get to work with dedicated people like I get to work with. I cannot possibly say strongly enough how much I admire both of these guys who make my job very, very easy and deal with a lot of difficult situations and wear many, many different hats. It is a gratifying experience to have two professionals, and I mean with a capital P, both Mr. Spiewak and Mr. Santana, and I am here to say that. And now Pony and Rofo, they don't clap, but you clap, so that's the way we're supposed to do it for these guys.
Thank you.
And Pony, you too.
Pony rocks.
You're included in that too, but nothing happened to you this week. You didn't lose any of your dolls on the shelf. So
No, he just dealt with the normal depression that he deals with on a daily basis.
Absolutely. But he's another one that gets everything done. Anybody that's ever had a problem with issues about the podcast and the app and stuff, they deal with Pony. I am very, very lucky, and I don't do it publicly, but I think I should more often. And you can count on another one of these, I would say 2019. I'll mention something.
Summer solstice.
This doesn't mean you can't stay away from buying the bonus pack, though. Buy it.
No. Yeah. Buy the bonus package and do it now, Tix. Let's open up the audio vault. Today is Friday the 13th. Be careful. October 13th, 2017. Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
You said such kind words that I must reward you with my new favorite parody record, which is called... God. You know the Despacito song? Everyone loves the Despacito song.
Oh, who doesn't?
Yeah, this is from a guy named Randy Rainbow. It's called Desperate Cheeto. Do you have an explosion? Do you have a fuse?
Oh, I might have my finger on the TNT right
now. I mean, no disrespect, but you're a big disgrace. And what is
Sorry. might have been a a hair trigger.
That
there.
Might Sorry have been that. A new world record. That was
Thank
good.
You.
Talking, we talked about Harvey Weinstein a little bit. This was bouncing around YouTube yesterday. This is from 1998. This is nearly 20 years ago. Gwyneth Paltrow on The Letterman Show.
Are you here of your own free will? Has someone coerced you into being here?
Do you count Harvey Weinstein as a coercer?
Now, Harvey Weinstein is I don't know whether he's in some kind of organized crime now, but he used to be like some kind of junior mob kind of guy, right? He was like in the mob auxiliary.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah,
that's
but and now he's like a big, powerful film guy, right?
Yes, I do all my movies for Harvey Weinstein. That's Miramax for all of you.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky to do them there. But he will coerce you to do a thing.
And so Harvey said, I tell you what, go on and talk about your movie. Is that what Harvey said?
Yeah.
Weird.
Wow.
It's three between
now,
the lines.
Would that have been pre-harassment? Because that's when she was dating Brad Pitt.
She's 22. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
how do you fight that?
Yeah.
So the story came out that Brad Pitt, that's, you know, there are 500 stories about this douchebag Harvey Weinstein. But the story was that he harassed her, touched her, and Brad Pitt threatened to kick his ass. Who knows? But it's all. But you get a lot of the, you know, we're going to say something about a guy, but we're not going to say something about the
Letterman
guy.
Letterman makes it funny by turning it into a mob thing. But when she keeps going back to the word coercion,
yeah,
it's creepy, man.
And there've been a lot of those surfacing.
20 years ago.
Talk about deep dives, and Oscar. There's people like searching the archives for
you're
this.
You're there, and you do all your movies for his film company.
Yep.
Yeah,
and it's early
strange.
In your career, like
very, very interesting. Yeah, and she won an Oscar while she was doing movies with Shakespeare in Love.
The take I like on this Harvey Weinstein thing is the one that Samantha Bee took last night about pleasuring yourself in front of someone else.
I have some business advice, fellas. I'm a big comedy star / Hollywood executive, and I found that it's quite easy not to masturbate in front of my employees. In fact, it's one of the easiest things I don't do. Every day I wake up, get dressed, take the subway to work, and then don't masturbate in front of anyone. Next time you get the urge to masturbate, just ask yourself, am I in front of an employee or a colleague? And if the answer is yes, don't. Just don't. And also, while I have you here, man, I'm sorry to break this to you, but your dick is ugly. No one wants to see your in any context. Make a good business choice and keep your business in your pants. Good talk, guys.
Good talk, guys.
That's hysterically funny.
She's very funny. I know you still love Don Lemon, right? From CNN.
Oh, Don Lemon, my fave. You know, I will say I have softened my position on Don Lemon because I didn't like him during the election, but
okay.
I think he's been certainly somebody that's a little tougher now. He's, you know, he's part of the media.
He was talking to a pundit last night called Ben Ferguson, or two nights ago, I believe this was, and they were talking about the NFL and all the controversy with the NFL, and CNN let fly two BSs.
It's not as if we're playing some international country. It's two American teams playing each other. We know
Don,
that we're on American
Don,
soil.
You're
that we
smarter
have rights.
Than this.
Well, no,
you're smarter than this.
No, don't tell me I'm smarter than that.
No,
yes, I'm
you know
smarter
when you
than
go
the
to
answer.
Game and the national
I'm smarter
comes on,
than
what
the bull answer that you're giving.
Do you put your feet? It's not BS.
It is bullshit.
It's not
total BS.
This is exactly the reason why so many Americans disagree with you.
Send your letters to CNN, Chicago,
yeah, well,
60609.
Do you think, look, I know I've given him a hard time before.
Right.
He knows that when he's using that
Of
tweet.
Course he does.
So what time, he's on later. I think he gets a pass on that.
Is it safe harbor?
I think it is.
Well, it doesn't
safe harbor. It's why he did that.
And you know what? Even if it is the news or safe harbor, I still don't think it's right. I don't think he should be doing it.
What are you going to call the FCC?
Yeah.
Square.
Yeah.
Exactly. Square.
Yeah.
Yay for Rob.
I don't like when he uses the second tier curse word. Stick to damn it.
What, a compound curse word?
You stay out of this.
It's a damn fine broadcast.
That's a damn good outfit. Stay away from that. You're better
CNN,
than that. Demi Lovato was singing in New York this week, and she was not feeling well, and her voice reflected it. She had a pretty good voice crack. I like how she handled it.
If
well, Bob.
I don't know what to do. I'm happy for you.
All right, enough exuberance, crowd. Thank you.
I wonder if it had been that way if when I was renouncing at that Redskins game and my voice cracked, if I just said Mr. Snyder would like to see you, Rob. But anyway, let's finish this new iPhone feature that actually sounds pretty fascinating.
And finally, Apple is reportedly designing an iPhone with a foldable display. We're getting ready to fold too, said BlackBerry.
That's your magic audio ball. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Oh, my goodness. There it is. Sorry. That's it, people. Thanks for joining us for another episode of TMOS. Don't forget to update our brand new TMOS app today. Unlock the live 24/7 TMOS stream. All messages for our weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with two B's at MikeOmerizShow.com. Our mailing address? We love stuff, especially this time.
Stuff!
Send us some Halloween candy. No, don't do that. Don't. I'm kidding. It's TMOS Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. We solved the world's problems today, didn't we?
We did. Good job, Mike.
Thanks for listening, and join us again for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeOmeraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeOmeraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.